Modi's agenda is quite long, so we are already but late, and we are sitting at 12. So we need to really give attention to the matters at hand. So please all feel very welcome to at this meeting today. Any apologies, committee secretary?
Thanks, Chair. There's only one apology from Honorable P. Kaba.
Thank you very much. We are quorum. I think we are 10 members now, out of 13. And I think that's very good because the business at hand is quite serious today. We have the committee secretary have prepared a report on the budget vote 16 for us, and I'm going to ask the committee secretary to read through the report, and then the committee can then amend the report as they see fit before we table it in Parliament. Can she read through the report, and after she has finished it, because as she's going along, members will make their notes, and then we will then look at the report in totality. Is that approach acceptable to the committee? Thank you. Over to you, Ms. Weiss.
Chair. Draft report of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. Department of Social Development, vote 16. Budget votes and strategic planning of the department and its entities, which are SASSA, South African Social Security Agency, and NDA, the National Development Agency, dated the 1st of July 2009. The Department of Social Development briefed the committee as follows. Vision, to provide a caring and integrated system of social development services that facilitated human development and improved quality of life. Mission, to enable the poor, the vulnerable, and those previously excluded to secure a better life for themselves in partnership with them and with all those who are committed to building a caring society. The mandate, to provide sector-wide national leadership in social development by developing and implementing programs for the eradication of poverty and social protection and development amongst the poorest of the poor and most vulnerable and marginalized. The department's thematic areas are A, tackling child poverty, B, tackling adult and older person poverty, C, social cohesion, D, youth development, E, sector capacity building, F, governance and institutional development, and G, regional and international solidarity and engagement. Key priorities of the department are as follows. The department has identified the following priority areas. A, speed up growth and transformation of the economy. B, fight against poverty. C, build social cohesion and state legitimacy. D, build the departmental state. E, promote the values of the international cooperation. Come again, ma'am. Okay. D, build the developmental state. And E, promote the values of international cooperation. The department's annual performance targets are: the department set the following annual performance targets. A, comprehensive social security. These include a reduction of poverty, vulnerability, and risk exposure through social assistance, improving the appeals tribunal effectiveness and efficiency, setting up a comprehensive appeals stakeholder liaison framework, and reviewing and proposing reforms on the social security legislation around appeals. B, welfare services. The target includes improving welfare service delivery by developing piloting and implementing norms and standards for delivering social welfare services by 2009-2010. The department plans to reduce substance abuse by developing regulations of prevention of and treatment for substance abuse at number 70 of 2008 by 2010-2011. Transform services to older people by developing service delivery guidelines by 2010-2011. Protect and promote the rights of people with disabilities by facilitating the development policies and strategies on disability by 2011-2010. And empower families by developing an integrated plan for implementing the family policy in 2009-2010. It also aims to protect people affected by violence and crime by developing a shelter strategy and victim empowerment policy in 2009-2010. It will improve protection and care of children by facilitating the implementation of the Children's Act No. 38 of 2005 by developing policies and strategies aimed at promoting children's rights. C. Community development. Community development will focus on protecting and empowering vulnerable youths by conducting an audit on youth services by March 2010. The department aims to complete and launch the Sustainable Livelihood Toolkit for Community Development Practitioners by March 2010. This will strengthen the capacity of practitioners and communities to achieve sustainable livelihood. It will improve community food security by developing a concept document on community food banks by March 2010. This will include establishing 2 community food banks by March 2011 and 3 food banks by March 2012. It will improve community development practice by developing a national community development framework focusing on professionalization and skills development plan for community development practitioners by 2010-2011. It will ensure efficiency in the nonprofit organization registration by registering all NGOs within 2 months of receiving applications to reduce vulnerability to HIV infection and mitigate its impact. The department will develop guidelines to promote behavior change, norms and standards by 2009-2010. Strategy and governance. The department will focus on improving planning and service delivery in the social development sector through best practice on planning, business processes, improvements and customer-centered service delivery model. It will improve accountability and promote service delivery across the sector by implementing a comprehensive monitoring and evaluation system. It will improve corporate governance of public entities, bodies and boards by developing and rolling out performance management framework, quarterly performance assessment of entities by March 2010. Lastly, it will integrate population trends and dynamics into departmental planning by developing the 5-year population and development strategy by March 2010. Key achievements. The department had the following achievements in 2008-2009. A. Financial management. Over the past 3 years, the department spent more than 98% of its budget. Comprehensive Social Security Program received the bulk budget allocation in 2008-2009, and 99% was spent. The department received another unqualified audit opinion. B. Human resources. In order to address the shortage of social workers in the country, the department awarded scholarships to 4,800 students to register for courses in social work at various tertiary institutions in the country. Policy and legislation. Social Assistance Act No. 13 of 2004 was amended to make men at the age of 60 be eligible for old age grant by 2010. The Prevention of and Treatment for Substance Abuse Bill was passed by Parliament in November 2008. Regulations of the Older Persons Act were tabled in Parliament. Regulations for the Children's Act were finalized and will guide the implementation of the Act. D. Social safety net. the past financial year saw the largest expansion of the social safety net in the country, with over 30 million people benefiting from social grants. E-Appeals Tribunal. During the financial year under review, the minister appointed 128 individuals to serve on the Independent Tribunal for Social Assistance Appeals. By the end of the financial year 2008-2009, 60,970 appeals had been lodged with the minister, and 13,259 of these were considered and finalized. F. Families. The department adopted a number of policies and strategies that seek to preserve families and inculcate a culture of respect for the institution of marriage. G. Children. 12,293 early childhood development sites were registered, with 667,231 children benefiting and 500,000 subsidized. H. Drug and substance abuse. The department's flagship campaign against drug and substance abuse, the Kimocha campaign, reached approximately 750,000 people and over 100 service providers, including social workers who received training on the management of substance abuse. I. War on Poverty campaign. The department participated on the War on Poverty campaign, which is spearheaded by the presidency. The department is also represented in the national task team of the War Room Against Poverty. J. Non-profit organizations. 12,393 applications for non-profit organizations were received and processed within 2 months, and 6,819 met registration requirements. K. Youth Development. 2,114 youth pioneers were recruited into Masupa Tsela Youth Pioneer Program, and 1,754 youth participated in the War on Poverty initiative. L. HIV and AIDS. The department initiated a number of prevention programs in collaboration with Love Life and provided funding to Love Life's lifestyle programs, which saw thousands of young people participate in HIV prevention initiatives. M. International obligations. A major outcome of the International Comprehensive Social Security Conference, hosted by the department in March 2008, was the establishment in South Africa of a liaison office for the International Social Security Association in Southern Africa. Challenges. A. There is still high level of poverty and unemployment, and thus many poor households are vulnerable to numerous social ills like extreme hunger, social crime, women and child abuse, and these impact negatively on the moral fiber of South African society. B. The national discourse of the reform of retirement provision continues in earnest. These reforms aim to overhaul the current fragmented and inefficient system in the country in order to ensure adequate income security for all South African citizens when they retire. C. The sector has also been challenged to engage in other key strategic areas, such as making some of the extended public works program jobs permanent, as well as linking EPWPs with other second economy strategic initiatives. The South African Social Security Agency briefed the committee as follows. Vision, to provide a comprehensive social security service that assists people to be self-sufficient and supporting those in need. Mission, to manage quality social security services effectively and efficiently to eligible and potential beneficiaries. Values. The values which SASA subscribes to are A. Social cohesion, B. Transparency, C. Equity, D. Integrity, E. Confidentiality, and F. Customer care center approach. Strategic objective, to build a high performance institution which manifests itself by compliance to good governance, principles and striving towards operational excellence through continued service delivery improvements to the beneficiaries. Key priorities. SASSA has set the following key priorities for 2009 to 2012. A. Customer Care Center Benefits Administration and Management System. This covers policy issues around the extension and phasing in the child support grant up to the age of 18. SASSA will develop a beneficiary maintenance framework to ensure that beneficiaries in the system are properly audited and are still entitled to receive benefits. The payment mechanisms are currently structured that will enable beneficiaries to either receive grants at pay points or receive it through banks. Currently, over 70% beneficiaries receive payments in cash. This has been identified as risky in terms of the safety of the beneficiaries. It's also expensive to operate in that security guards need to be hired. To address this, SASSA plans to move towards direct banking system. B. Improved organizational capacity. This includes building infrastructure, which is currently inadequate to address the challenges of lack of office space for SASSA regional offices. Some regional offices have no offices and they share with the Department of Social Development, and this increases the risk for fraud. C. Comprehensive and integrated social security administration and management services. SASSA has set a priority to build an institutional model which will be in line with its legislative mandate. This will enable it to take the appropriate initiatives and policy decisions at the right time and ensure it delivers on them. It will also implement a case management system which will enable it to assess other needs of the beneficiary, such as health, education, and other social needs. It will then refer the identified needs to relevant departments for intervention. For instance, a person who receives a social grant but is able-bodied to work could assist them to find work in the EPWP or receive training. Fund flow configuration for grants budget. A. SASSA manages grants on an agency basis on behalf of the Department of Social Development, and this often results in dual accountability. B. SASSA pays and fully administers social assistance grants. C. The Department of Social Development is financially accountable for the social assistance transfers. Risks or disadvantages. Dual accountability adversely impacts decision-making and is not in line with long-term strategic intent for SASSA and the legislation. Challenges. A. Resources. Inadequate funding makes it difficult for SASSA to reach remote areas due to limited capacity and resources. This involves inadequate funding. Demand for social assistance exceeds the available resources. Lack of resources delays the finalization of projects. It also has high turnover rate due to recruitment of their staff, once trained by other organizations. Systems and processes. This involves inadequate infrastructure, inadequate internal communication processes, lack of real-life interface with other sources of data, legacy challenges relating to autonomy of provinces, and non-compliance. The National Development Agency briefed the committee as follows. Vision, to develop a society free from poverty. Mission, to facilitate development through targeted grant funding, research and strategic partnership. Primary mandate, to contribute towards the eradication of poverty and its causes by granting funds to civil society organizations for the purpose of implementing development projects of poor communities and strengthening the institutional capacity of other civil society organizations that provide services to poor communities. Secondary mandate, to promote consultation, dialogue, and sharing of development experience between civil society organizations and relevant organs of state. debate development policy to undertake research and publication aimed at providing the basis for development policy. NDA strategy. The three-year strategy, that is 2009 to 2012, focuses on fulfilling NDA's mandate of poverty alleviation. It also encompasses recognition of the financial constraints within which the organization operates. The NDA strategy includes four strategy goals, which are: A, goal one, promoting sustainable development. Its purpose is to contribute to the eradication of poverty through grant funding, which is the core business of the agency, and resource mobilization. The agency has undertaken to allocate 65% of its budget towards grants and the remaining budget towards operational costs. A decision was made to source external additional funding to complement funding for its operational costs. B, goal two, promoting organizational sustainability, developing practice and excellence. Its purpose is to develop additional income streams to build and sustain the capacity to enable the agency to operate efficiently and effectively. C, goal three, promoting interface between civil society organizations, research institutions, development practitioners, and the state on development issues. The purpose is to facilitate dialogue to inform development policy and service delivery. D, goal four, facilitate research that informs grant decisions, procedures, and government policy. Its purpose is to facilitate information and knowledge generation to strengthen the development programming of the NDA and informing development practice and policy. Grant funding. A, the NDA receives an annual allocation from the National Treasury through the National Development of Social Development. B, 65% of the total grant allocation is allocated to grants for the CSOs to implement poverty eradication programs. C, the grant allocation is proportionally split amongst provinces using a predetermined formula based on Statistics South Africa poverty indices. D, the biggest allocation historically has been to three provinces, which are KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, and Limpopo. Since 2007, the NDA took a strategic decision to increase baseline allocations to Free State, Northwest, and Mpumalanga provinces. E, it provides grants to CSOs to implement projects in income generation and food security sectors to eradicate poverty. F, it grants funds to SCOs through two approaches, which are request for proposals and program formulation. G, funds granted to CSOs are in line with provincial growth and development strategy, integrated development plan, and government-wide priorities. H, NDA visits communities and invites people to apply, and it supports whatever project is popular in the area. It also advertises on radio and newspapers. Disbursement of projects 2004 to 2008. A, in 2003-2004 financial year, the NDA disbursed 104.7 million to funded projects. In 2004-2005 financial year, the NDA disbursed 90.1 million to funded projects. In 2005-2006 financial year, the NDA disbursed 55.6 million to funded projects. In 2006-2007 financial year, the NDA disbursed 49.5 million to funded projects. In 2007-2008 financial year, the NDA disbursed 76.6 million to funded projects. And in 2008-2009 financial year, the NDA disbursed 85.8 million to funded projects. Capacity building. A, the legislative mandate requires the NDA to strengthen the institutional capacity of CSOs that provide service to the poor. B, the NDA has over the past 5 years upscaled a program of strengthening capacity of CSOs in the country. This has included capacity interventions in technical management and leadership strengthening. see further that NDA has strengthened NGO networks and consortia to provide coordination and voice for the poor on public policy matters. D. All 408 funded projects in the period under review have included a significant component of institutional capacity strengthening in program implementation. E. In 2006-2007, the NDA launched a capacity building program for CSOs with an investment of 25.7 million, working in partnership with universities and accredited service providers throughout the country. Program design of civil society organizations strengthening program. Its purpose is to strengthen the institutional capacity of grassroots organizations to deliver quality services and programs to alleviate poverty. This program is divided into three phases, which are A, conducting assessments, B, developing learning programs and material, C, implementation of training, coaching and mentoring and support. Achievements and highlights. A, since inception in March 2000, the NDA has committed to projects in sectors such as economic development, food security, community health and education. B, this has benefited 417,500 direct households and indirectly benefited 2,260,736 poor people. C, 20 service providers were appointed in all 9 provinces of South Africa. D, 643 CSOs have directly benefited from capacity building strengthening interventions. E, 9,645 individuals have been trained in project management, financial management, community organizing, resource mobilization, public policy analysis and public participation, and technical skills in specific areas such as agriculture and provision of water and sanitation. Finances. A, the NDA seriously considered financial constraints within which the NDA is operating. There is a direct need for additional funding to enable the NDA to further fulfill its mandate. B, the NDA is pursuing the goal of raising additional funds through initiatives such as service level agreements with government departments to assist with program implementation, monitoring, and evaluation. It also explores commercial opportunities for the sale and marketing of NDA project products and commercial partnerships with service agreements for the sale of NDA services, e.g. monitoring and evaluation and capacity building. Committee concerns. The committee registered the following concerns. A, many people, especially in rural areas, apply for social grants and still have to wait for months before the application is granted. SASSA needs to put it in place a strategy
Can I just call Member Lamula and the other members to order? You can do the corrections after she has done it. Just note it. You will do the corrections quickly and then we go to the content. Is that fine?
B, there are duplications over responsibilities and functions between the Department of Social Development and NDA. Recommendations. The department should expand on cost-saving measures implemented to decrease expenditure. The economy and government should create sustainable jobs so that beneficiaries of grants can graduate and become economically independent. The economic cluster of government should give attention to this matter. Conclusion, the committee had many substantial questions and it was agreed that since time was limited, questions should be forwarded in writing to the department and the department should reply in writing. The committee recommends that the budget vote 15 be passed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Vice, for the report. Honourable members, do you have the report? Can we go to the corrections on the Palamula? Just on the corrections quickly. Once we have the corrections, we can then understand the content much better. Okay? Yeah, to put strategy in place. Yeah.
Just a need to put a strategy.
Yeah.
In place.
Yeah. To address. If needed, must be deleted. The second
thing. Just a need to put a strategy in place to address.
That's great. Can we go now to the additions and the enrichment of the report, honourable members, and we'll take it page by page. So we'll now go to page 1. Honourable members, I want to make a proposal that we should have a sentence included in the report, and it can be fitted in some way in terms of that the committee should note the budget of the department in this current financial year and also in the outer MTF years. So just for us to get to say this is the budget for Vote 16 in totality, and just have a breakdown per program. I think that is missing in the report. That we should add that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This report was given to us now, just before we started this meeting. There was no time for us to discuss this with our party liaison people. So this actually puts us in a very critical situation. It's the first time now that I'm working through this report. Whilst it was distributed to us, prior to this.
The way the process works, the committee secretary, in terms of the job description, compiles the report. It then goes to the content person and to the supervisor of the committee secretary. And if my memory serves me right, committee secretary, you only got it back on Monday. And we have a scheduled meeting today. So that's why I said that the committee secretary should take us through. She should read through so that she can make your comments. So the one issue is, members, that we all got the notice that this the committee report is going to be presented today. So this is going to be a committee report and not a party's report. So it's going to be the product of this committee. That's why we're going page by page. Is there anything that members would like to add in the notes that you've made? Because I think we had about 3 meetings with social development.
We were only present at 2.
But there were 3. Mm-hmm. 2. Oh, sorry, 2. The other one was the reception. Okay. And then we had one with the minister where she also took us through her priorities in the Marks building. So that makes 3.
Yes. Madam Chair, but remember that we were not informed of the change of venue. So we were in the plenary. We were in the plenary and people went ahead with the meeting. But anyway, can I raise something?
Yeah.
The committee concerns, these were not all the concerns raised by the committee. And if I remember well, that there were very crucial concerns raised by the committee, which is not reflected in this report. Yeah, that's why I'm raising that. I can't remember all the issues that we had, because I do not have all my documentation at this point in time. But I remember there were very crucial issues, concerns raised by us from the DA side, which is not reflected in this report.
Member Nagakula.
Chairperson, if you can proceed and then we go page by page, and then I think it will be correct.
Yes, thank you. Members, as I was saying on page one, that is the proposal that I'm making, that we should note the budget over the NTF period, which will then include this the financial year that the committee secretary just included. Is that fine? Okay. Then we go over to page two. The annual performance targets of the department. Anything on page two that you feel that has been left out? This is actually sourced from, this is it's documents, it's information that came from the department. So it's just stated here. I think the real engagement will come with the concerns and the recommendations. So we go to page three, and just one correction. I'm sure members saw me chatting to the parliamentary liaison officer of the department in terms of financial management. It's over the past 4 years the department spent, it's 3 years, is right, but they had four unqualified reports, 4 years running, social development, and not 3 years. Am I right? And I think that we should include. The department received another unqualified audit opinion, 4 years running. Can we say, 4 years in succession. I'm sure when we discuss the annual report of the department for 2008 and 2009, we'll know whether they've got the fifth one. Coming to page three. As you were reading, the committee secretary was reading F, honorable members. The department adopted a number of policies. Okay, there's a draft family policy in place, so a white paper needs to be finalized. And I think that should be noted, because if there's a white paper, the draft white paper tabled, it will be our responsibility to have those here. A white paper on families will be finalized. Ms. Peterson, am I correct? Peterson. Yeah. Okay. Page four is still the same, honorable members. It's just fact. Okay. As well as page five, so it's basically the entities also that so I think the areas of interest to us we're going to deliberate on will be on page nine. Now, if we go to page nine, we go to committee concerns, and let's go straight into committee concerns. Okay.
And I'm sure the secretary, you write, you're ready with your pen and paper to... Okay, the first one, members, is that many people, especially in the rural areas, apply for social grants and still have to wait months before the application is granted. That is a concern of the committee. Now, we will put the recommendations after the concern, okay? But can I ask for expediency that once we have the concern identified, we go to the recommendation just for the secretary to note it. So then we know we finalize that issue. If I recall this correctly, especially in our far-flung rural areas, where you have a population of 300, your SASSA officials would have sessional visits to areas and not be at a permanent office that is open from 7:30 to 4:00. And spending 2 hours in that community really disadvantages that community. Is that was the kind of concerns, if I'm correct? Member Nelson?
Chairperson, I think onto that we need to add as well. That I don't know what the correct word is, but it must be a service that is delivered together with Home Affairs, because in many instances the problem is also access to birth certificates and IDs and all the rest of it. I just forget the term that is used for the joint operation. Yes. That we must. You know, they, where there are no one-stop services, we must get them in place.
What? Just to concur with the member of the committee, and just to add on to that, I was just thinking of us working with the Home Office, because most of the problems in those rural areas are around IDs. I can just cite an example for the committee that there are older people who can't get their pension because they don't have ID books and they don't have a relative to bring with to confirm that they have been in South Africa for all the years, and some of them do not have any type of documentation to show. So.
Ms. Ma, SASSA has these trucks, mobiles, that goes around. And I think they have one or two in every province, am I correct? And do they, I just want to assess currently, do they also then take Home Affairs on board? Can you just switch on your mic, please?
Sorry, they do take Home Affairs with them when they go out to the rural areas with the mobile trucks. I'm not too sure, Madam Chair. I'll have to check because it differs from province to province.
I think the one concern, the fact that members have a concern, means that there's not enough trucks. It takes long to reach, especially your isolated rural communities. Yeah.
You know, it even takes long for the ordinary rural areas to get to their grants or their pensions. Just yesterday, on Monday, I had the same occurrence again, that where SASSA went out to the point, and that is now from Worcester to Wolseley, closing their office or their site where they're working at 3 o'clock. And these are the issues that are burning issues for the rural people. For a rural person to get to that point, it takes between 8 and 12 rand to and from. And mobiles will be the ideal answer to this, but mobiles can be more useful in the remote rural areas. And yet, SASSA is not attending to it. This is the fourth year SASSA is running, and any business doing proper business should be up and running in 3 years' time. I know there are shortages of resources, and I know they are also battling with certain financial issues and staff, but.
And I have the wisdom, apply the wisdom of Solomon and Ruth, and Ruth combined.
No, I don't have a problem. I want to combine the concerns. I think there needs to be an improvement in the service in rural areas, especially with the availability of personnel. So if it's payday in the community, the satellite office shouldn't be closed because staff is at the payday. That is one of the issues. So the service will still continue. And that members have encountered this. That offices close early because officials went to the pay point. Now, this could be a shortage of resources, but what we are saying is this should not happen. Because then it has a negative impact on your service delivery. And especially on the poor, because the clients of SASA is not rich people, they are the poor people. Okay? So, as I've noted two people, I've noted honourable member. You want to say something before we conclude on this matter? Okay. Honourable member Kenya?
I don't know whether it's part of this. You know, what I would suggest is that since SASA is changing the way of these payments, rather the banks or the post offices, rather SASA arrange with the community. I mean, we are saying here, services must go to the people, not people to the services. So if these post offices or these banks can just go down to the people, because our people in most rural areas are even scared to go to the bank, you know, to sit there the whole blessed day and without any assistance. They don't understand this clearly. But we really appreciate what SASA is doing to change these pay points. You know, our people have died in queues waiting for their money. The criminals have come, shot our people, innocent people coming for payments. So we have to educate them gradually, but let's have means to take the banks or the post offices to the people so that the process of changing them to get their monies in those institutions becomes very fast.
I don't have a problem that we have other two concerns, but let's just finish the one concern and with the recommendation, then we move on, because that is also another issue in terms of the banking. Banking is unbankable, and the issue of the staff. So it will be linked, but it will be three concerns on its own. Okay. Honourable Mary Mongana.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was saying due to this not having banks in the rural areas, we must encourage the community to make these community banks so that our people must be nearer to the banks, not SASA, but us as the community. We must make sure that we must have the community banks. As members here, mobilizing the chief, Mahosi, and everybody, so that we must have this community bank, so that it must it will alleviate this problem that we are having of long queues and people going far from banks and so forth. That's why our people doesn't want to go to banks, because they feel at the banks are far from them, and then they are fearful of the people who will rob them. So it's us who can make life easier for our community to mobilize that we must have this I don't know, but they call them it community banks.
Can I summarize three concerns and the three recommendations? The first, as the committee secretary must just help me out, is the committee notes with concern the lack of visibility of SASA in our far-flung rural areas. That we are concerned about the sessional visits, to rural areas. And we say that it's not enough to address the need of communities in regards to social security. That's the one concern, right? The recommendation of this committee is that SASSA needs to increase the presence and the visits of mobiles in conjunction with the Department of Home Affairs to our rural communities. Eh? Is that fine?
I recall that we already had in the last budget both 50 plus or 100 mobiles during the rural area. I remember a figure of either 50 or 100. I thought that my partner notes with me. Servicing the rural areas, you know, but I don't know how far they go.
The one challenge we have, 3 cities as big as Germany, right? So if you have 100 mobiles in terms of your 9 provinces, it's not enough in terms of our rural communities. And if you have a mountainous area, you need a mobile to be stationed there. That's the one reality. So and migration all the time. So what we can maybe add in our recommendation is that This is going to imply that additional resources be made available. So we should say that additional resources then need to be made available to SASSA to ensure that the service is rolled out to our communities. And do committee members want to be briefed on these plans? You want to come and briefed on this rollout of SASSA? Can we put that as part of our recommendation? That we want to be briefed on the rollout of this improved service delivery plan with regards to the mobiles, okay? And the collaboration with Home Affairs, okay?
I think they must also drill down for us the challenges in terms of provinces. Because we will pick up 1 and 2 areas. But I think they must give us an overview as well. So in this program, they must come out and say, province, because we can hand this over then to our members at NCLP as well, to take further than that. Thank you.
Madam Chair, but we will be doing oversight, isn't it? Not the way NCOP is doing it, but I presume that you'll be doing it. The committee spoke on challenges. I remember very well we spoke on challenges because none of the departments actually spoke on challenges. And we requested them to come up with their challenges so that we can know what the challenges are in each and every department. I remember that. So that must also be noted.
Sorry, Chair, I'm not familiar with this term. So I just want to ask, we've got some of the offices that they are doing home affairs and what do we call those offices? Yeah, well, we need to speed up those centers so that people mustn't travel. It will also assist.
The increase of one-stop service centers in rural areas is a dire need for service delivery. So it will be social welfare services combined with SASSA, home affairs, even local government and so on. Okay. All right. The second concern was around the issue of the community bank issue, right? It was quite some time back that we discussed this. I'm just getting my memory together. I think the committee raised a concern that not all people have, in rural areas especially, but the rural focus, that not all beneficiaries or people that are eligible for grants have access to banking facilities. Right? That is a concern that we're noting. Hmm? That eligible
people that do not
have access to banking facilities in rural areas. Our recommendation is how to then counter that is to mobilize communities to have community banking, but also then engage your other institutions like your post office and your other banking institutions to also have a presence in those areas. Is that I'm combining the two points together. Honourable Member Makuba?
Yes, I stand corrected on this one. I just want to find out. You know, there is this problem that we have where if a person has applied for a grant in KZN, gets the card, if that person, the dates for the payment arrives and that person maybe is in Pretoria at that time, she's got to get into a taxi, go back to KZN to get paid. Is it SASSA's strategy maybe to provincialize this? Why can't it be national? Why can't you use your card where you are if you are eligible for the grant? Because this is from the national government. That is how I understood it. That is why I'm saying I stand corrected. Maybe there's a reason why they're doing it like that. I don't know, but I felt it would be better for a person. I have an example. I have a cousin of mine is at my place now because she's sick. So we fetched her from Durban to Gauteng. But every time she's got to get the grant money, she's got to go back to KZN to get paid, then come back. So I just wanted to...
We're now busy with a community bank issue and the unbankable, right? On that matter, Honourable Sal, yes, Chair, the other payment method is the CPS system. I don't think the system is working well anymore because local government is suffering because the beneficiary go to the shop, the shop system. I don't know, but it's part of the payment. We can never just hold back the issues, but let us just finalize this one matter. I think we've concluded on the issue around the community banks and the post office issue. Right? So we're going to the next concern. The next concern is the issue of people that can't go to any pay point if people have moved. You see, what you need to do, if you move, you have to inform SASSA that you are moving to a certain area, or you have to go to another office and then inform them that you'll be there, because then they need to then transfer your data to another area, to another system or something. Not system, but to the office issue. So there needs to be that internal communication. Ms. Mark, can you just tell me whether I'm on the right path here or not?
Yes, Madam Chair, you're right. They just have to inform the office that they will be going, like in the Honourable Member's case, that they'll be going to Gauteng and that they want their pay to be paid out in that province, and it can be done. But they just need to inform SASSA where they actually resident, that they're going to the next province.
I think also it's because there's beneficiary files, your physical file as well as your soft print file. Am I correct?
That's right, Madam Chair.
Okay. But if there's, I think what we must say, soft print is a huge system with over 8 million beneficiaries. There's going to be slip-ups in the system. If you have a big system like that, there will always be slip-ups. So we need to make provision for that. And I think that is where we as honorable members comes in with this. So you remember in our first meeting we said regional managers, MPs must get to know regional managers so that you have this relationship with this regional manager in the province where you come from so that we can sort that out. But I'm even sure Teresa could also assist you with that matter. Okay. Honorable member?
No, I think there is a problem there because it doesn't happen to all people. For instance, I'm a foster parent for 8 children. So the other children, I don't receive grants for them. But because the two were transferred from the mother to me, I'm getting the child support grant for them. My card was made in Eastern Cape. But whenever I'm in Gauteng, I'm in Durban, I'm all over, I can just put my card in even Spa or any shop or where there are these machines. And then I get the money. So maybe it's just to slip up things. Most of the people who are staying in Durban, they reside in Durban, or the Lunadar, they get their money in Western Cape, they get their money in Eastern Cape. So maybe it's just something. Yeah. Thank you.
Honorable Member Magakula.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. I think the Honorable one that was speaking now, he will no more go to get grants for the children. He's a Member of Parliament. I think...
Should Honorable Member Magakula... foster care, I'm sure foster care grant is now, you can still be eligible for a foster care grant because the kids have been put in your care by order of court.
On the lighter note, Madam Chairperson, I'm agreed with SASA if a person will get his paid from the province. I'm staying next to Mozambique and Swaziland. You'll find people from Mozambique and Swaziland on a payday just come to South Africa for this paid. But we said now we want to work together with the Home Affairs. Also strategically, that thing will assist us when they come to the border and then the Home Affairs will know that now this old person from Swaziland is coming to South Africa and on that same day, you go back, and then they just started to question him there. Because if maybe you get your paid, maybe in Gauteng or in KwaZulu-Natal, they can just simply say, no, there is a problem in Mpumalanga, then let me go to KwaZulu-Natal. So it's fine for SASA to provincialize this thing. If you want to move, you inform SASA, and then they transfer you, I think.
Magagula, is that a proposal in terms of a cross-border issue?
Yes, madam.
So we should say it's a concern that in neighboring bordering towns with other countries, like Mpumalanga with Mozambique, northwest of Botswana, and so on, Free State, Lesotho, that Home Affairs and SASA should give specific attention to beneficiaries profiles. Okay? So that's a concern that we're noting. And then the recommendation is there should be a special project that may clean up the system from non-South African citizens. Am I correct? Good. Okay, Honorable Member Chair Asich and then I'll come back to you. Honorable Member Kopane.
I'm supporting what you are saying, that if we provincialize, it's much better because people from around that province will be in a system. But when you move from province to province, you didn't report to SASA. It also reflects as one of the problems because of that method of fraudulent, it occurs on that issue of going up and down. As you have already mentioned,
We at Northwest, we have got a serious problem with people who are moving around. Botswana people coming and get pay in our province. So if it's a provincial one, you contain it. But if we move, I was just saying that movement of going up and down, we need to correct it. We must report when we move from point A to point B, so that we must be able to control this matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was just adding to what Ntate has said. I'm also worried about foreigners, people from outside South Africa, who are receiving grants, because that money is supposed to be received by our people here, because they've really worked for this country, they've contributed. So maybe we also need to say something, because in the Free State, majority of people who are receiving grants are not South Africans, they are Lesotho people. And maybe we need to come with some sort of a control system, because South African people, we do allow those people to have the documents of South Africa illegally. And they are even known, they just come when there's a pension day, then they go. They don't even want to open the bank system. Maybe if we can reinforce the banking system, that's where we're going to get these people. That is the other thing.
We've made that in terms of the recommendation that there should be a joint project between Home Affairs and SASSA to root out these instances in border towns. But obviously, maybe we should say they should profile this where it's happening. Because if you say it will happen in pockets in Free State, it won't just be Lady Brandt area. It will be broader than that. Yeah, and I think this thing should come out very strongly in our recommendations. Okay. Yeah, you're right. So we can say it will actually be a justice plus to people. So it will be social security, it will be SASSA, it will be Home Affairs, and SAPS. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
On that note, Chairperson, I think if we can, as a department, join the community policing forum, I don't know how, because you know there is, and then make the operation Bimpa, because those people, they are coming from the other countries, but they can hide this from us. And in the end of the day, we knew that there is this interrelationship. But if we are aware as a community that this is happening to our community, but if we can help the cooperation build so that everything that is happening in our community, we knew. Remember, this is the only department that has money. And if we cannot allow the money to go to the foreigners, they did that, Chairperson, in numbers. So I think we have to prevent that, I think.
Mrs. Ma, just one issue around the human rights issue with the access to social grants for foreigners. Is there anything on that?
Madam Chair, remember the judgment on the Kona case? I'll probably have to get that judgment and then distribute it to members in terms of non-residents and non-South Africans that will give us guidelines in terms of that. It was basically that the children can access the grants, Madam G, if their parents are working in South Africa.
Yeah, for children. So really the committee is clear on that.
And I think where they have temporary asylum, they also have access to grants. The CSG. I think the judgment was specifically on CSG, if my memory serves me right. Okay. Honourable members, can we finish off with SASA because we still got the department to go to? Okay. Honourable Member Makuba, Lamula, and Ahmadu Mangas.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to thank the information I just received now about the provinces and the payments of grants. And I want to say that the examples that I was making, those people are not, as we speak, aware that they can report that they're moving to other provinces. Maybe information dissemination is needed here because people do not know. I know a lot of them. I'm not talking about areas like Durban and all that. I'm talking of areas like Ngwavuma, like Msinga, where it costs people 35 rands to get to the bank and 35 rands coming back. So some of them don't even think of going to the banks to open accounts. They are quite happy with their cards that they get from SASSA. But I will also ask them to do as we were told and see where it gets us.
Noted those issues that have been raised by the Honourable Member. And if there could be some interaction between, if you can facilitate that interaction between the regional manager and Honourable Member for KZN so that we can, I'm sure Honourable Members, it was something that I wanted to discuss with you in terms of when we have recess and oversight in the different provinces. While we don't have a committee budget yet, which will only be available in October, that we work creatively in terms of our oversight by working within our provinces where we are deployed. So that would have been one of the issues. And if SASSA organizes a day, if you can identify an area and SASSA goes there, I think that will really help. Honourable Member Lamula? Is the issue, please?
One central tribunal that deals with all complaints was my question, the delays in tribunal appeals. And somewhere in the report there is something on it.
In terms of appeals, is 128 individuals that serve on the appeal tribunal. So,
handling 128 individuals, handling 60, nearly 61,000 appeals that's been lodged with the minister. And outcomes only 13,269. Time periods are not given. But that is a concern. And some people desperately need, are affected by the decision here. I don't know what we can recommend there, but it is a concern. To me, it's a great concern.
Kasa, didn't raise the issue to say that they are undercapacitated in dealing with the appeals. But you feel that the 128 people is not enough. Okay.
Whether SASSA does the appeals or the department?
Department.
So this isn't SASSA?
No. But it's linked to SASSA. In a way.
The outcome of the appeal is SASSA pays out on whatever the pays out or does not pay out on whatever the outcome of the appeal is.
Do we want to do this? Can we park this when it comes to social development?
because there's a sub-program, I think, called Social Security, am I right? So then we can just, can you just hold that for us, Honourable Member Lambula? Honourable Member Mangani, can you conclude the SASA issue for us?
Thank you, Chairperson. I was just adding slightly something, you know, that maybe will assist us. That one of SASA and Home Affairs and SAP. I was just adding a smaller, you know, thing, because the IDs that we are having at the rural area is the koshi or the chiefs who are giving these people that they are the residents of this country. Even if are not the residents, we must have that relationship with the chief, so that so that they must assist us, not to give each and every one who's not the bona fide of this country something that says, yes, we know this man or we know this woman is staying here, so give him or her an ID. I was just making it on the list.
Yes, I think that is, thank you very much, Honourable Member. We're going to include it under the recommendation in terms of a partnership. So your horses and community leaders must be part of that partnership, yeah, and that process. Honourable Member Kupari.
Thank you, Chairperson. The other thing that is still burning, but I don't know when I'm going to discuss it. Many South African people, while they are still working, people like me and you, when they reach their retirement, they don't qualify to get the grant. Of which sometimes whatever they are getting is too little. Now, it's really a challenge to our people. It's really unfair because while you are working, you contributed to the economy of this country. Suddenly, when you reach their retirement age, you are told that, no, we can only give you 100 and something as a prorata. It's really unfair to our people. Because among other people like ourselves here, while we are waiting, we bought the houses in the suburbs area. When I'm supposed to receive the grants, then they check the market value of my house where I stay. But during that time, I don't have any source of income. But whatever I had is going to be, you know, to be assessed also. So maybe we can discuss that. Because really our people, besides, they end up even losing the very same houses that they bought. So I don't know what we can do about that.
Honourable Member Lamula?
That is relating to the means test. And if I can come in there, I think the committee needs to be concerned about the means test surrounding married couples. You know, when it comes to maturity date for a man, he gets his pension that he worked for. Many of our women at the age of 60, many of our women are either out of a job or they've been housewives, lifelong housewives. So they stay, and I've put this question to the minister, they stay dependent on the husband. With the result that we cannot, ons kan nie die vrou regtig bemagtig while she stays dependent on the husband. And she cannot get access to a pension because of the husband's income. I think the committee needs to be concerned and ask for a split in the means test when it comes to a married couple, especially when the husband reaches maturity age of pension. A split in the means test for married couples. That is number one.
Okay. Just clarity, are you saying pensionable age if the husband has been working, for example, for the state or for a private company?
In the pension.
And you're saying that the means test should be changed so that the wife
can also qualify for an old age pension. Yeah. Means test to be reviewed when it comes to married couples at the age of 60, so that the woman can at least have access to a pension.
you know, once those the husbands get their monies or their pensions, they do not bother at that age to really. Many cases, I've come across many cases where wives are dependent on their husbands for pension, for the sharing the pension fund, and then the husband actually keeps his thumb down on that woman. Say moet vat wat hy wil gee, otherwise you do without it. And ons kan nie die vrouens so bemagtig. We cannot speak of wat is in Engels woord bemagtiging van vroue as ons hy vrou nog altyd empowerment of woman. If we still keep that woman down due to the fact that she's now dependent on the husband on his pension to live from 60 on. And then too, some husbands are good husbands. I must also say that. But a great part of their pension, 80% to 90% of their pensions are spent on the welfare of that house, on his wife again. Perhaps it's a sickly wife that he's married to, and then he has to come up with paying the medical costs of that wife. Still not, the wife still not being able to access the pension at 60.
Social health insurance, and there's another issue that SASA, the department is working on now. Can you help us in terms of, I'm sure it's going to assist those people that doesn't make it, that doesn't qualify. Can you just give us, guide the committee of that matter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. What we have to take into consideration is that Cabinet, the whole notion about the restructuring of social security and social security reform is a lot of issues that the committee is raising here. Issues like the migration of benefits and beneficiaries across the border and across not the border. There's a bigger task team within Cabinet that is represented by NetLAC, National Treasury, a specific team that is working on this. And we should not lose focus on the bigger debate outside the smaller problems that we are focusing on. And maybe the committee must just, if it can encapsulate in its report, because there were basic arguments, and even before the basic income grant, which was granted as an argument, before those debates come up, if you look at the context of social relief of distress, social relief of distress is given to the grant value, which is 1,040 rand if it's an adult person, but if it is a child, it is 200 rand. The argument for the basic income grant was originally set at 100 rand, and there's a vast difference between the two. So this gap about economic activity and targeting people from the age of 18 to the age of 60 in covering that people in a safety net is a bigger debate that is part of the social security reform. And I would recommend that the committee seeks a collective briefing with the right stakeholders on this matter. The same for the migration of benefits, because you need to know from Home Affairs what are the issues first in terms of which beneficiaries, what is the status and the profile of your country, because your social security net is standing at 13 million people. And that is a vast net in terms of who is eligible and who is not eligible. And I just want to take the point on the means test, and I hope I'm going to be forgiven for what I'm saying here. As much as there has been argument that the social assistance grant is already covering 95% of beneficiaries over the age of 60, and that there has been arguments of moving towards a universal access to this grant, I recall that in previous committees it was explained this nature of a reciprocal duty of when you are married, you've got a duty to support the people that are with you. And as much as the Honourable Lemula, I also support the acknowledgement and the empowerment of women, but if you are married to somebody, you've got a duty, and that's why they look at the income collectively. If we abandon the value of the reciprocal nature, you also look at the child support grant and you look at fathers not paying maintenance for their children. So you can't have the argument in the one category and not in another category. And we've got to look at that obligation. So to me, the issue is more about customer education and social beneficiaries. Customer social, every beneficiary must be orientated on what he is entitled to, his basic, the basic standards of services, where they must get them, and they must know what the rights and also the abuse of social grants must be reported in that system. I don't know if my comments make sense, Madam Chair, but yeah. And just the last one in terms of third categories is there has been a case for, I think, it's Male Mule, or we can just look at the case study, but there has been a case for adult disabled refugees to access social security. And there's also been a ruling on giving access to beneficiaries that will qualify, even if they don't have the immediate papers and documentation. SASSA must take them into the system and assist them. They do a special coding and identification of the files. I think it starts with a serial 7 or a serial 9 thing. But assist those beneficiaries to get the necessary documentation to come into the system. Somebody cannot be refused access to the grant just because he doesn't have the necessary paperwork. Thank you.
Okay, I think we'll just adjust our recommendation in that regard. But I think, can I make a proposal, Mrs. Peterson, the issue around that you said that NEDLAC and I'm sure social development is involved in, what is that process called?
Madam Chair, I'll give you the name of the Cabinet Committee. Of that committee cluster where that representation is. But there is a collective through the cluster system with National Treasury. I don't know if it is Human Protection and Social Development, but it's a combination of the Social Protection cluster and one on the economic side that takes it forward. And also to note that it would be National Treasury that would be responsible for the development of legislation, for retirement reform. So it affects the socio-economic rights, but I need to give you the right name for that. I don't have it on the tip of my tongue.
I think it's something to do with retirement reform, but it's especially you look at your cleaners in the Department of Health in the hospital, getting a very small pension, and how do they survive post-retirement? So it's to look at them, at your domestic worker, when they go on retirement, at least to have a good life, decent life as an older person. So that is part of the whole process of retirement reform. I think what we should do, we should note what Mrs. Peterson have told us, and can members give me a mandate to speak to the minister so that when we have an opportune time, the DG can just come and give us a briefing with the minister, obviously, just on this process and how far this process is, so that we can get the gist of certain issues, so that we can also raise our concerns around those issues, and I think then we can discuss those issues in detail, Honourable Member Lamour. Yeah.
Perhaps Lala can again help us here. Children under the age of 18, disabled children under the age of 18, are they allowed to access a grant?
Honourable Lamuna, a child, a disabled child that has met the assessment criteria, the medical criteria for being assessed as a disabled person, qualifies for a care dependency grant up to the age of 18, and when he turns 18, the care dependency grant is converted into an adult disability grant.
That child, accessing van die ouers se means test, no matter what the state of the means test for the parents are. Are you sure?
I know that there's been a relaxation of that provision in the regulations, that the means test of the child, because it's regardless of the condition of the child. it is the child that qualifies for that assistance, so that he can go to a special school or need special. That's why there's even a grant in aid that is given to an adult person that is looking after a full-time disabled person, whether it's a child or another adult. But the grant in aid is not always popularly populated. It's usually captured under the disability grant.
Proposal, just for progress. I'm going to request Mrs. Small, maybe early June before we go on recess, that we get SASA in and just take members through a means test. And then if we can visit in the Western Cape, just one of the SASA regional offices in the Golden Acre. Right?
I would suggest if we really want good input, we must go to... I was going to say to the rural areas. You know, the minute...
Let me finish. Also, it's convenient for us because we're in Cape Town. We can go to a pay point. And I think, Mrs. Small, you can organize that for us. And then it will give us, it will come to the point that we will discuss our constituency work. Because then you will get a sense of what's happening within SASA, also in terms of the means test issue for you to go back when you have visas and visit those areas and those service points. Right now, because of our budget, we are a bit decapacitated in terms of our movement. So we can look into visiting our outlying areas and our oversight when we discuss our strat plan and look after October. Honourable Member Mangane, and then members, please note it's 2:12. Yeah, and the bell will ring in 10 minutes.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I was saying all these things that we are raising, we know them. Especially the challenges. I was saying we must also appreciate, since SASA, the SASA inception, they say, even if some of the province didn't see at least now we are seeing where we are going, because we must appreciate good things that SASA have brought in. Now I can speak more about where I came from. I've seen a lot of changes because long ago we were struggling, not doing this. The thing that we can say is that SASA must get in itself, reorganize itself very much quickly about offices, because they are still rambling. They're still staying with whoever in the offices. Yeah, social development. So I was saying, we must also say good things that we have seen through SASA. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Member. Can we? That will be the last issue. That although SASA has made great strides in service delivery, we feel that it's time that they move on their own. So because they went through this wonderful branding exercise, so they must now move away from the social development offices and establish the offices on their own. I think that is a matter of statement that we're making as a committee. Obviously, when SASA say they can't do it, they can come to us and so on. But Let me just say, give members this bit of information. In my previous life, I was the head of department. I served them thrice with notice to say they should move out of the offices. precisely because besides that department needed the space, but it was also good for them to migrate. So you totally migrate away. So you will make the migration complete. We're not saying that it shouldn't impact on service delivery,
but we'd rather want to see the total migration of SASSA so that it can stand on its own. Okay? Can we close this matter now? Okay, you want to make a proposal for that? Thanks.
Chairperson, with every input that we put in this draft, I just want to adopt the draft as it is, Chairperson. With amendment.
I wanted us just to go through social development quickly for the issues that we have picked up. Honourable Member Nelson and then Honourable Member Lamula. But the SASSA we concluded, thanks, Honourable Member Magakula.
Chairperson, I think we must acknowledge that there's lots to be said and we're not going to be able to say everything today. I think all of us have got stacks and heaps that we want to comment on. But we won't be able to do it in this 5 minutes that we have left. I've got two issues I want to raise that I think we must bring in. NDA. I think we spoke about NDA and we said somewhere we need to raise the concerns around the sustainability of the projects and money that is being put into projects versus the sustainability. And then under the recommendations, I think we also said that NDA needs to give us a report on all projects that have been funded. And we want some kind of report on the progress of those projects that have been funded. That is under that one. The one under social services. I think we need to, because this really is a thorn in my flesh, the late payment of NPOs. NPOs not receiving their funding on time. And I want that captured somewhere within the challenges. And I want it also in the recommendations that, and I'm not talking about, every time we get this reply of people not, or NPOs not completing all the necessary paperwork. I'm talking strictly late payments, where everything is in order, but payments are not made. So I want that taken up in the recommendations, that it needs to be addressed.
Nelson, just to get a clarity from you. Late payments of NGOs, NPOs, and impacts on the operations.
Yes.
But especially in province, is it in provinces?
In provinces, yes.
Yeah, province, okay.
Yes. And these are stakeholders of ours who are delivering services on our behalf. And we're bringing them to their knees. And we need to address that, to address the rest of the people.
I don't know if how serious this is going to be. But I noted that the upcoming 2010 World Soccer Cup. My question was, does the department foresee any possibility of substance abuse problems increasing? And if so, are we prepared or preparing to tackle challenges? And I remember that the lady answered, the Federation Cup went very well. But that was for a very limited time in comparison to the 2010 World Cup. So we might just experience more problems surrounding substance abuse. And here we also need to have Home Affairs, because control of borders and SAPs being included. I don't know how the committee views this, if it is a very great concern, but to me it is, because you know our youth is going to be drawn into this again, because they will be the ones that
broad question on in terms of readiness, because it's an anticipated issue. It will be substance abuse, social crime issues, and so on. I think what we should do is maybe if we can speak to, even if members want to raise it in the debate, I think it's good. But we should then And we need to speak to, maybe Mrs. Peterson can help us out with social development. Are you part of the PREPs for 2010? And as we'll be in discussions around the social fallouts of the 2010 World Cup.
Honourable Chair, yes, the preparations for the 2010 is a standing matter, you know, as a national priority, and it is collectively being managed as a strategy with which social development is part of, because you're looking at human trafficking, the prostitution issues, you know, public drinking, and all kinds of things. It is a collective issue. So, yes, social development is aware of it, and we are part of it, and we are interfacing in those task teams. But it is an event that requires collective responsibility by government.
Can I make a proposal that when the department presents the annual report, they also give us a briefing on their responsibility with their responsibility of provincial social development department in the 2010 FIFA World Cup? Okay? Honourable Member Kupane, and then I'd like to the two other members.
Chairperson, my point was about monitoring of the NPOs, those that have been given funding. If you remember very well during the presentation, they were saying they've got about, social development say about 56,000 registered NPO, and the problem is the monitoring. So that is an issue that we need to address on the recommendation. What are we going to do about that?
As the committee secretary went through the report, I've identified some of those issues that the members raised. In terms of the concern, I've written a statement to say that the committee notes that the sector, the NGO sector, needs continuous capacity building programs so that they can effectively and efficiently serve the community. And then the recommendation, okay, is that the national and provincial departments to capacitate NGOs with accredited training so that they can run their affairs and comply with funding specifications of government and other funds. Now, the other issue is also the issue of quality assurance, that there should be quality assurance done to ensure that NGOs comply with service standards, because people get subsidies, they get money allocated to once off, and there's no quality assurance. Yes, that's why we said in terms of if they get a training, financial management training, they have to comply. If you don't submit audited financial statements, you can't get more funding. If you got a disclaimer, you also have to. So, do members agree with that? Because it will then cover the issue of value for money and compliance. Honourable Member Mangani?
Yes, I think we agree about it. But it's something that I don't know how can I put it, but I just want to put it. There is this registered and unregistered. You find the registered one are the one that goes to conference and so forth. Those who are not registered are doing work and they get frustrated because of this thing of getting to be registered. It took time, but I've seen here when we read this proposal draft, I've seen that we must also look into that. We must speed up that thing. Because most of the them, when you look at them, if we want to be realistic, most of those who are registered, not all, but most of them, most time you see them attending this conference, coming out to this conference. And then those who are not registered down there at the rural doing jobs for our community, but you won't see anything. And then they faint and die because there's nobody who's monitoring, who's taking them up. So I want us to, I don't know how to put it. That's why I just put it, I think the committee will assist me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
pivotal importance to our communities. And I feel they are the ones sometimes, especially with our shortage of social workers, auxiliary social workers, or whatever goes with it, that implements legislation, especially at ground root. And we need to look at them carefully. I would even suggest that top structures of sustainable NGOs be paid a salary.
Enrich that statement in the draft report with the comments. Honourable members, just on older persons, to say that, remember the department said that the service delivery standards will be developed for older persons, but that we should, I think, what the committee should say in its recommendations, that we've noted that, but that it should be developed in conjunction with the stakeholders, which means your older persons, associations, and so on, with the stakeholders in this area. People that, because it's a specialized area, services to older people, and there's quite a few stakeholders around. So you can't deliver, develop service delivery standards if you don't involve these people. So I think it's very important for us to make that recommendation. The other issue that I wanted to raise with the committee is the issue when we looked at the visit of the department, when the department came and addressed us, the dominance of males in terms of your senior management excellence. And there's one DDG in the department that's a woman. Sasa, the only female regional manager, is non-parliament. So there's no female regional manager. I don't want to speak about the NDA. I think there's only one person. Same. And I want to say that we note with concern the dominant male presence in the senior management echelons of 16, that is the Department of Social Development and the NDA and SASA, and that we recommend a more representative female senior managers echelon, especially from DDG level and other strategic making decision positions, both in DSD as well as the NDA and SASA. You see, there's a tendency to give women all these non-strategic positions and say you are a director, but you don't get any power. We want to see women in strategic, in decision-making positions and competent. Yeah, obviously they'll be competent. So, do the committee agree with me on that?
Yeah, we agree, but even here it's only one man. Thank you.
Is honourable member delegations come down for budget votes or when they come from Pretoria? Why is such a large entourage coming? Is it necessary some of this people don't even speak in the committee?
DSD, NDA, SASA, highly specialized areas. I think as we evolve in terms of our role, you will have someone that will deal with systems. In DSD, you will have someone that will deal specifically with the area specializations, older persons, is children, overseas, its development. So it will be best for us to, if that's why you, when you looked at the DSD response, you had the different chief directors responding and the DDGs. There's a lot of DDGs. But your COO will respond on strategic issues in terms of the operations of DSD. So the more complicated and specialized professionally your department, the more people you will have. And you must remember, for every service in social development, there's a profession. And that is a challenge. I've requested a huge delegation for SASA especially, so that members know who's the regional manager of your province. Remember, I encourage you to meet them. So just for you to link up, because besides myself and Honourable Member Lamula, I don't know whose second term is this, but there's the other members are fairly new. It was an opportunity for them just to meet the people and to start networking. Honourable Members, the bells are ringing. Can we then conclude? I'm recognizing Honourable Member Kuma. Will you conclude the meeting? This discussion.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think for us is to adopt this report with these amendments, so that we can proceed. And looking forward to deal with the amendments strictly and very straightforward. Not forgetting that at the national level, there is no problem at all. The problem is in the implementation of the policies and the programs made by the national. So our work is down there in the provinces, in those regions, in those districts, to make sure that our people don't say the government is not doing anything for us. Thank you.
Is there a seconder? Honourable Member Magagula?
I second the Honourable Member. I thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I've requested the committee secretary to make chapters of a book on monitoring and oversight for parliamentarians that I've discovered, and budgeting, also how the budget process works. And she'll be making those chapters available to members, so it will be in your pigeonhole. Since we are pressed for time, members, the strategic planning workshop will then take place in early July. Okay, so I will brief you on that. The Stella sent us an invitation. The Stella is asking for a meeting with the chairperson and the committee members, and to introduce themselves. I'm sure previously, Honourable Member Lamula, there was interaction with the committee, with people from the spirits and wine industry. But they also have their social development people in the corporate world. They said that they would like to have a meeting, it can be at one of the premises, or they can meet us here in Parliament. And if it's on one of the premises, they will then facilitate the issue of the travelling for us, because we have no budget. And obviously the date is a date for our convenience. Now, we usually meet on a Wednesday, so it will obviously then be on a Wednesday. Do members agree with the invitation if they like to go? And maybe, because this is one side of social development in terms of what social responsibilities do these industries have towards certain social ills and so on. Honourable
Manganyi, Mrs. Lamu, Honourable, I'm Manganyi. I was just saying, not those who want to go, because we have to go and see. As all of us, we will need more of this organization to go and to can hear what they are saying, because most of them, they are representing the society down there. So we need to meet time and again, meet with those and exchange some ideas and give a hearing of what they are doing.
We agreed with the invitation.
Member Nelson? Chairperson, maybe we should just get an indication of the date of the stress plan. Because today is the 1st of July.
And I think there's recess around the 10th, which is gives us only next week. So I think we need to speak about just the date around there.
Maybe it will be wise for us even to shelf it for after recess. Come back and discuss it. Because I think if recess is in the next 2 weeks, it's going to be a mad hour for our parliament. Can we have it, when we come back, our first portfolio meeting will be the strat plan. Can we agree on that? In the meantime, we will make, as you've noticed, a lot of reading material for you available. So we will issue the issues around oversight and budgeting, the material that we have so long. You will read that, acquaint yourself with that, and then when you come back, we will then have these issues. But I think in terms of just the agenda for that strat plan will be your monitoring and your oversight will obviously be very crucial. We'll get SASA in to take us through everything in terms of your grants and so on. And then also just the GSD will take us around the different laws that they have. And it will be user-friendly presentations. I've already spoken to the minister, and she doesn't have a problem with that. So it will then arm us to know what GSD is all about. So we're looking at a 2 to 3 day session where we meet. And it's going to be very intensive, but I'm sure it's going to be worth a while. So I'm sure even just one day we'll just be with SASA, but we will be able to understand SASA. Okay? Thank you very much. Honourable members, this meeting is adjourned.
Hello?
Honourable Member Nelson.
Hello, everyone. I'll see you. Thank you. Thank you. Hi, Paula. See you later.
All right.
Well, you know, here with the council, you have to go as long as it is done.